Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your word today, that you're going to feed your people today with your living word. The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, it's our life, it's nourishment to our spirit. And at this food today, Father, that we receive here in this teaching time, and when Pastor Bill begins to minister the word in pastoral ministry and teaching the word, that it will be connected with the Holy Spirit, with power, Father, with joy. Father, the word would come forth with joy, and it would have power with it, Father, changing our lives, sowing it deeply into our heart, that it will contribute to our growth and increase, and that you would be glorified by every seed that's being sown in our heart. Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're continuing on here. I'm in chapter 8. Of 2 Corinthians. He wrote 1 Corinthians. There is so much content in 2 Corinthians that's related to 1 Corinthians, so we have a good foothold of where we are in 2 Corinthians. He's reflecting back, he's teaching, reminding of the things that he had said to them in 1 Corinthians. I want to say this very carefully, that Paul had an agenda everywhere he went. People have agendas, you know. People have purposes, especially people that think beyond the next 5 minutes of their life. You have certain agendas that you want to accomplish, and that doesn't mean agendas are bad. If you have God's agenda in your heart, that's good. That's a good thing to know and recognize, that God is with you in the work that you're doing, and that you're connected with him, and you know that every step you take is going to be ordained by him, and he's laying hold of that, you know, in your life, and your steps are ordered. My steps are ordered by the Lord. That's your agenda. Your agenda is to be pleasing to God. This is what our agenda is. Paul had agenda as he was going through to carry light, to carry the word of God, the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to these people in Macedonia, to these people in Achaia, to these people in the Galatian region. Paul is carrying this word to them, giving them the light of the gospel. And he still has an agenda as well of helping the poor saints. I don't want you to read through 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and the book of Acts and not realize that Paul didn't have a care for the whole of the church, which is God's agenda. Christ Jesus, the head of the church, the whole of the body of Christ, Paul did carry that, and it's giving us these clues in here. And grace comes down from above to this church in Macedonia. This is the portion we're talking about now is about money. It is about help. It is about gifts. It is about offerings. Let me be a little bold just for a moment. It's not about tithing at all. But tithing is important. It's very important, but I don't want you to think that's what this is about. This is about having a heart and a care. Do you care that these people are suffering in Judea? Paul did. And he wanted to transfer that to these churches and stir their heart to be able to help and to give. Give to these people that are suffering. There's people that are suffering in the region of Tanzania. If it's in your heart to give, it in the same way it was in their heart to give yourself to the Lord. What would you have me to do for them? And you give to them. You see, these are all these things were agenda in his heart everywhere he went and preached. I want you to know about the grace of God that's been given to the churches of Macedonia. Well, he wasn't in Macedonia. Right now he's in Ephesus, but he wants to let them know they're in Achaia. This is where Corinth was. It was in the area of Achaia. I want to tell you about what happened and how the grace of God had come upon the Macedonians, that they gave in their deep poverty. They reached within themselves and they gave an offering. It was not more than once. More than once, I'm telling you, they gave. But that's part of the narrative in the story in the book of Acts. But here it is. with abundance of joy, their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. And so I call this the grace of liberal giving. It's not my next book title, okay? Don't misunderstand this. You know, I'm just saying, what do you call something like this? What's it look like? You know, when a church like this reaches, how did that come from that little church to give so much? And more than once, I want to say, we see this as we go through the book of Acts. According to their ability, beyond their ability. Well, it was God's ability that had sown into them. And out of that ability is what they give. And that's how you give. And that's how you move. It's beyond your ability. Begging us, Paul, let us help you. Let us participate with you in this work of helping the churches in Judea. And everywhere else Paul was helping the churches. This is a picture I want you to see. It actually covers more than just a few verses. It's actually a couple churches, a couple of chapters here where there's giving being done. And there's a reason, and he explains it, and he gives it to us. The favor of the participation in the support of the saints. This is what they were doing. It's not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. And then to us by the will of God. Well, here's where we're introduced to Timothy again. Timothy is a big part of Paul's life. There's his personal letter to Timothy, which is amazing in itself. Paul had contact with Timothy. This Timothy, if you'll go back to Acts chapter 15, this Timothy, we find this, if you're taking a note, you want to jot a note down to yourself. We might even go there. Galatians, the second chapter, Timothy is mentioned again as one of the party that went with Barnabas when Barnabas and Paul were in Antioch, and some of the teachers were coming and saying, well, he's a Greek. He needs to be circumcised if he's going to be saved. And Barnabas are not having any of that. Paul went and preached for years that give your heart to the Lord. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he died on the cross for your sin. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is it. Not plus something else. Plus, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. This is what they were trying to teach. But he's not having any of that. Well, back to Titus. Titus was in the party that went down. And it says in Galatians, most interesting is how you connect this dot. It says Titus was a Greek, and he didn't think he was going to be circumcised. He brings Titus back into Pritchard again. Titus was a Greek. He was a Gentile, and he didn't feel compelled. This is what the word used, compelled to be circumcised. He knew that Jesus saved him. Saved him from his sin. Saved him in his relationship. He was far away from God. And whatever circumstances happened, Titus got saved. He got born again. He was baptized. And now he's connected with Paul's ministry. So I'm just drawing this perspective of what Paul's talking about here. And so he says in verse 8, this is not a command to you. I'm not speaking this as a command. But as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love. Love gives. Love gives. Love gives. Get that into your heart. Love gives. You show love by giving. There's not another way. James, there's not another way. James says, when somebody is hurting and they come up to you and they need something, you don't pat them on the shoulder and says, go away and be blessed. Let me pray for you. Go away. Help them if you can. If it's in your ability, this is showing love. This is showing your generosity. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's going to tie this. There's a grace that came upon this church in Macedonia up north from where he's talking. This church in Corinth is in the south, hundreds of miles to the south. Let me tell you about the grace. You know, oftentimes in our modern times, we hear about revivals here and there. They're not happening right where you're at. Well, not in that sense, but you hear about these moves of God somewhere. And yes, you yearn for it and long for it to be right here. But you hear about these things in different places. This is one of those things here. Grace came upon Macedonian church to give and to contribute out of their heart. They wanted to do it. They weren't commanded to do it. They weren't expected to do it. They wanted to do it. Let me be a part of that. I want to be a part of that work. When you read in the book of Philippians, you'll see this very same thing in the book of Philippians, and you'll see the blessing that they received by being a part of the ministry. There's a blessing that comes with that. It's a beautiful thing. That's faith. That's the faith message. That's the prosperity message. You give yourself to the Lord, and you give, and God gives unto you. Every need that you have, he will meet every need that you have. That's the prosperity message. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, here's the connection, make these connections. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might become rich. The poverty that he went through is your riches. You connected with that. I give my opinion in the matter, for this is to your advantage. I love that. It's to your advantage. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit cannot come up. It's to your advantage. Some things you think you're losing, but you're really gaining. That's an amazing thought. But now he says, it's your advantage. Who were first to begin a year ago. This is kind of like the hinge pin. This first year is the hinge pin of understanding where he's going. A year ago, they had committed to give to the poor saints and to give to this work. But it's not finished yet. And so he's writing about this right now. This is kind of like, you get this, you understand why he's talking about this topic right here. A year ago, not only to do this, but desire to do it. That's a key. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was a readiness to desire it, Corinthians, readiness, you wanted to do it, so that there may be a completion of it by your ability. You have the ability to do this. You have the wealth among you. You have the riches with you. Corinth was a very, not that they didn't have ghettos in Corinth, but Corinth was a wealthy city. There was opportunities for people to give into this work and into this ministry. For if the readiness is present, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. God does not ask you to give things you don't have. That could be qualified in many ways. Sometimes we think what God needs is something we don't have, but whatever he needs from you, he'll give to you to give to him. That's just an interesting thought. Grace will come in your life. It's desiring to do it that is the important thing. Do you want to do it? Do you want to serve him in this? Then he will give you what you need to do it. God is gracious this way, faithful this way. For this is not for the ease of others. Now let's not get our perspective wrong here. This isn't so everybody can live a cushy life because you reached into your pocket and you gave a bunch to them so that they could drive around nice cars and live a cushy life, and for you to eat, you know, beans and nuts. This is not what he's saying here. And he pretty much puts it that way. It's not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by the way of equality. Well, that should capture you right there. Equality? How is this being equal? Bless you. How is this being equal? This is interesting because there is an equality here. Pastor Bill had many times has said something about this. You know, somebody writes a book. And we've had authors, we know people who write books, they write a book. Well, what's the value of that book? Well, sort of, the easy answer is whatever you're willing to pay for it. Okay, so you buy this book, and I've had books, they had fantastic Christian titles, you know, and I start reading the book, and I get, and I should have read the whole book. I'm not saying follow my example, but there was so much trash in the first few pages or the first few chapters of the book, I just threw it away. Because there was so much stuff that was out of order in my... But I thought it was good. But then it wasn't good because it wasn't the truth of the word. So I'm not saying follow my example in this matter. I'm just simply saying, what's the value of something? Where's the equality in it? I part with my money. I give you the money. You give me the book. There was an exchange. There's an exchange going on here. At this present time, for your abundance to be a supply for their need. You're wealthy. You have abundance where you're at. Send some of that to Judea. And in turn, and we know this, and we're going to read this, there's teachers, prophets, men of God who are moving and sent from Judea, going around to the various churches, sowing in them spiritual wealth. There's a wealth coming from pulpits. Wealth. I understand not all pulpits are preaching wealth, but I think in this house it is. But anyway, there's a spiritual exchange here. I don't even have enough money to pay for what I feel I've gotten over the years here. I don't think there's enough money in the world to pay for this. So it's in our mind, it's what value do we put on something? Paul's putting a value on something here. He's bringing a righteous exchange. He's saying, give to them. We'll see it as he goes through here. Just proposing this idea to you. You give to them. They're going to come. Their abundance being supplied for their needs, so that their abundance may also supply for your need. That there may be equality. As it is written, he's drawn from the Old Testament. I love when he does this. And I would like to go to these Old Testament scriptures and read them all. But our focus is on, Paul, why did you write this to them? How do we explain 2 Corinthians? And where are you going with 2 Corinthians? Either that, we're going to go on a subject study of why it's good to give. And how do we give? You know, trying to stay away from that. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered too little had no lack. That is definitely Old Testament thought. It's a presentation of a spiritual thought that's drawn from the Old Testament that he comes here and presents them with this idea. If we go back to, I think it's Exodus 25, he says, gather the congregation together and have them bring an offering. Well, what was he starting to do? By the instruction of Moses, they were to give an offering from their heart in order to build a tabernacle. There was no tabernacle yet. What's a tabernacle? They didn't even know what that was. They didn't understand it. It was a new thing. Having a tabernacle in your presence was a new thought and idea. They didn't have that in Egypt. They didn't have that in Goshen. They didn't have a tabernacle. They didn't have a priesthood. They didn't have priests. What's a priest? The concept of priests were there and how they served and what they did, but not a godly priest. Not a recognition of that. Not one who would intercede between and stand in the place between God and men. This priesthood who would make sacrifices for sin. Jews didn't know anything about that. The people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't have a feel for that yet. So take up an offering for gold, silver, precious stones, all these different things they were taking up an offering for so that he could build a tabernacle. Now, a lot of people don't even, I've never heard it preached on that much. Where did they get all this stuff? Where did they get all this stuff? Exactly. They were wealthy. Wealthy when they came out of Egypt. They were wealthy beyond measure. All these things. Another spiritual thought that just came to me last week. This covering on this, you know, Paul already, he's already told us here that you're the temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are. Well, the tabernacle was covered with what? Skin. Skins. Porpoise skins. Various skins. The temple is covered with that. It's just the thought that came to me. You know, it's not like someone didn't already write that. It's already been written in a book. But the fabric of it, the structure of it, is covered with skin. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that idea came to him as well, the Apostle Paul. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness. Here's where Titus gets tied back in again. He put the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. Titus wanted to carry out this work. This is why he's connected. For he not only accepted our appeal. Hey, Titus, come here, I need to talk to you. He accepted our appeal, not only, but being himself very earnest, he's connected with the Apostle Paul. He's connected with his work. He wanted to see this done. But being himself very earnest, he has gone to you on his own accord. Titus went to Corinth. We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. Don't get caught up in this, because no, he did not name him. You can have your opinion about who this guy was. I do. I have an opinion about it. I don't mind sharing it because I'm not making the doctrine. I happen to think it was Apollos, because we have seen times when Apollos was connected with Titus, but that's not that important. The brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches, and not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work. What gracious work? What gracious work are we talking about? For me, seeing this is the understanding of how they were collecting up money to send to Judea to relieve the suffering of the church in Judea. But all the while, everywhere Paul went, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. That was his primary focus. But that doesn't mean that this is nothing. The people were suffering. There was famine in the land. There was persecution by the government. There was persecution by the religious folks. All these things were happening. It was hard to get jobs. It was hard. Everything that happens in societies of the day is the same thing that happens here. In Europe, some of you already know this. In Europe, we've heard these stories from Poland, from France. You know, if you got connected up with a charismatic group of churches over there, if you or your son or your daughter would hook up with those churches, the Catholic Church would make sure you wouldn't work, that you wouldn't have a job. They would tell them people in those areas, in those towns, not to hire you. There's hardships everywhere, but you have to be willing to sacrifice it, right? Taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in this administration of this generous gift. He's still talking about money. He's still talking about this generous gift being a collection made for the poor churches in Judea. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with them our brother, whom we've often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of this brother, because of his confidence in you. This brother he's talking about is Titus. For as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, these are the brethren. These are the men who are coming and sowing spiritual into the churches, various churches everywhere. Let me finish the statement. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to God. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and our reason for boasting in you. As we talked about earlier, Paul was making great boasts, both to the Macedonians, the churches in Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica, great boastings, and to Titus. I'm tying this all together, Titus, all these various churches, these various regions. Paul's boasting about them and how generous they are and how spiritual they are. We don't think that because we read 1 Corinthians and we see some, you know, things that aren't quite right there. You know, well, there might be some things in my life that aren't quite right, but I'm marching forward. I'm trying. You know, I thank God for revelation, for understanding, for His Spirit, you know, His compassions in my life, pressing me on. Let's continue on. For it is superfluous. It's beyond even words. I can't even say enough. It's superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. He's not done with the subject yet. I know it says chapter 9, but that wasn't always there. Okay. The ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boasted about you to the Macedonians. Namely, Achaia, that's where Corinth is, that they has been prepared since last year. They've gathered this offering and they've been prepared since last year. That was the last word that Paul got from them. But I have sent the brethren, this is the traveling people that had gone out from Paul, but I've sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case. Paul did not want to be embarrassed by this situation, although that wasn't his primary thought. It just seems like it here. So that I was saying to you, be prepared. Otherwise, if the Macedonians come, if there's church, if there's people in the party from Macedonia and they hear about this previously gathered, you know, bounty of giving, isn't there? It's going to be embarrassing for you as a church. It's going to be embarrassing for us as a ministry. And we want to do all things honorable to God and in the sight of men. When the Macedonians come and find you unprepared, we not to speak of you, us, but you will be put to shame in this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead of you, arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift. We're talking about money here. We're talking about this church that gives. We're talking about where is it gone and if it's gone. And Paul wants to pick it up and he wants to take it to Jerusalem. You know, he hasn't gone to Jerusalem yet. Not in the sense of the storyline that carries him to Jerusalem. And he goes and he's at the temple and he meets with the apostles and they say, you know, brother, and everybody's saying, you're saying, reject Moses, reject Moses, reject Moses. And he said, well, what should we do here? He says, we'll take an offering down to the temple. And when they found him in the temple, come, brethren, this is the man preaching everywhere that he's the one. He's the guy. And they snatched him up and beat him up right in front of the temple. And they bloodied his head. And one of the centurions, this is the sum of the narrative and the storyline. A centurion said, what is going on down there? Come on, guys. He gets his soldiers. They go down and snatch Paul up and lift him up so that they couldn't beat him anymore. And then he took him aside and he says, why are they beating you up? What did you do? You know, go ahead and read the story. That's all. This hasn't happened yet for Paul. But it's going to happen. Here we go. He arranged before a previously bountiful gift so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Paul talked about covetousness in 1 Corinthians, of people who are covetous, that they lust after things. Now, this I say, he's going to draw from the Old Testament thought again, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. It's a spiritual thought. It's a spiritual thought. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. He who sows bountiful will reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has supposed in his heart. Remember, as I said to you earlier, he's not talking about a tithe here. He's talking about giving to the church and giving to a cause of suffering people, ministry to the saints in Judea. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. Oh man, here they come again to collect up an offering. It's not like that. They give themselves to the Lord and they want to give. Want to give to the Lord. That's a beautiful heart right there. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. Sad is the man who doesn't walk out the purposes of his heart. He's a sad person. What's in your heart? What have you purposed to do? That have you done it? That's amazing. Amazing thought. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I know that's famous words, and you know, right before we give an offering, you know, the preacher will snap and read that verse, and we love it because it's so true. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have... You see, that verse is connected. You can't take those two and separate them. How can you do that? God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. It's God who supplies you seed for the sowing. You always have something to share because God will give it to you. Always. God will give it to you. Oftentimes, if we are so narrow in our thinking, we'll notice God giving things to us and we think it's for us. You're just a vessel. You're just a channel. Some of it might be for you, but it's for your giving. So this heart of liberal giving, this grace that comes upon your life, it's your heart to give. We shouldn't be narrow in our thinking. Expand it. Realize that what you have, you give to others. As it is written, he scattered abroad. This is the ways of God. The ways of God are to sow. To scatter abroad. I've been thinking about that all week. I really can't say much about it yet. It's still percolating in me. The methods that God uses and the ways of God. You know, meditating on that. I was just sharing that with you a minute ago. He scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. God's righteousness endures forever. This is the Apostle Paul drawing from the Old Testament again, taking a spiritual thought and putting it to spiritual words. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, God does. That's who it is. He's talking about God. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. This is all connected. All connected to giving. All connected to who is the supply. God is the supply of all things. He just gives it to you. Now it's your turn. Are you willing to give? Are you willing to be stirred? Or are you like the selfish one that when you gather something, you know, not that we're a people like that, I'm just making a point, they think that they're not going to get any more. And so they gather in and hoard it to themselves. There's plenty of places we can go in the Gospels that talk about that kind of thing. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply, I love that word, multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. There will be increase. Righteousness comes when you carry out that word that is put in your heart. It's right. It's the right thing to do. Righteousness comes when you carry it out. If you just sit on it and do nothing, it's not. It comes to you when you give it out. When you give it out. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now, there's a pronoun in there. Which through us, the ministry of Paul, through the work that he is doing in these churches and in these areas, he's being ascribed as the one collecting from these churches. We're going to see it as we continue to go through here. Not just the churches, but it's the Apostle Paul's work in the matter. It goes all the way back to the council in Jerusalem. Paul was given a right hand of fellowship, if you remember, to him and Barnabas to go to the Gentiles, while Peter was given, as Peter was given to the circumcised, Paul was given the right hand of fellowship to all the churches and the Gentiles and everywhere he was going to go. Corinth wasn't even a thing yet. When they went to the council, that was chapter 15. He's not even here till chapter 18. But he had the fellowship to go to all. They were going to support him. That right hand meant everything. They were going to be supportive of the Apostle Paul, of Barnabas, of Silas, of Titus, of Timothy, supporting them in the work that they were doing. So thanksgivings to God for the ministry of this service is not only, this is so powerful here. How much of an impact was Paul really having? I'm saying great. I'm saying he's having a great impact on these regions. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. These people were being helped in Judea through the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the Gentile churches. Everywhere he went, Colossae, Ephesians, Philippi, Berea, Thessalonians, all these different regions that Paul was at, began a flow of help coming from them to the area of Judea. There was great blessings, thanksgivings. Verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, the proof, I love you. There's proof. There's going to be proof of the love of God, and that's giving. Because God loved you, he sent his son. The proof of God's love, he sent. He gave. It's connected. The proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. It's not about money. It's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus is doing in them. He's changed their heart, and they're not a selfish people living in Corinth. They're a people that have a changed heart, and they care about others. They're changed into the glory of God. They're changed people, not a perfect people, a changed people. The heart was on them to give, and they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. This financial blessing was going out to them and to all, this giving, not just Corinth. This happens to be the letter that we're in. The last couple chapters have been focused on the idea that the Apostle Paul was so greatly impacted, you know, by that word that I had said earlier. This comfort, that was the word, comfort. He was comforted by Titus coming to him and saying, Paul, those people up in Corinth really miss you. They can't wait to see you again. There's been some fantastic change up here in Corinth since you sent that first letter. That first letter you sent to them, it really changed their heart. Their perspective in the church has changed up here. You know, they want to continue to give to you. These are the kinds of thoughts that are promoted by this verse here, by these verses here. Let me finish this chapter here. Your liberality of your contribution to them, while they also, and this is just as important. You know, don't think, oh, finally we're at the end. This is just as important. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you, because of the surpassing grace of God in you. They could see the grace of God in you because it was coming out in their giving, in their love, in their attention to these people, to other churches. You're not just a selfish church existing on your little plot of land, but you're reaching out and helping others. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I know we like to say, and I'm not going to argue with you if you have a different opinion about that. I think it's that generous gift that they were giving. It's an indescribable gift of, I'm seeing it with my own eyes. It's the compassion that's moved on the inside of them to give to the churches, you know, in Judea. But you could say that's Jesus. He is an indescribable gift to us. You know, I'm not going to argue about that fact. But I think in the context of what he's saying here, Paul's giving thanks and glory to God for the gift that they are amassing together. It's not done yet. The gift that they're amassing together and that they're going to send when Paul gets there, he's going to carry this gift along with others, carry this gift and take it to Jerusalem, at which point he's going to be arrested in the temple. The gift goes to the church, to the areas of Judea, and then a whole new chapter of his life is going to start. This is where Paul's going to be at, you know, in his mission as he moves. And more letters are going to come from him as he faces prison time and begins to write more letters encouraging more churches. Father, we thank you for this indescribable gift, this grace that has come upon our life. And Lord, it continues to mold us and shape us into the glory of God. We thank you for this image, Lord, that you're giving us, a heart. You love cheerful givers, Father God. And we thank you for that. Lord, let it contribute to our growth, that we can give more, that what we have, you've given to us, O Lord. So we thank you for this great stewardship in the name of Jesus. Amen.